Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the press. It is the end of May, and we are about to head into June and start ourselves the Memorial Tournament. I'm Ryan Ballingy. It's good to have you here with us. We're going to do two shows together into one today. So we'll do the model for the Memorial. We'll talk about picks for the Porsche European Open, the Mizuho Americas Open, and then we'll do all of the picks around the Memorial Tournament, which is presented by Workday, if you're interested in that kind of thing. You can get a hold of me on Twitter and Instagram at Ryan Ballingy. You can email me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com, if you have any questions about what we're talking about here. And before we go into the model, you can join us at Golf Newsnet for $99 a year. To actually just improved our weekly cheat sheet tool, which is really, in truth, more of a convenience for me to update it so it functions a little bit better. Looks a little bit better as well, I think. So you can check that out. And all of our myriad tools available for $99 a year at golfnewsnet.com. All right, let's talk model for the week. Last week, just as an audit, like to do this kind of thing, Emiliano Grillo was number 32 in the model, which prices out about right, given that he was an 80-1 shot going off and wound up winning the golf tournament. And that kind of ranking is fitting in with that, given that Grillo has struggled throughout his career after his rookie season to win golf tournaments, and that he's just historically not a great putter. And if you look at the way that he gained strokes last week, he gained a ton of strokes putting and didn't really gain as many strokes tee to green, particularly on the approach, which is normally his strength. And sometimes that's what it takes to snap out of a long streak of losing, is to win by doing the exact opposite of what you do best and just be good enough at the thing you're really good at to bring you to the finish line. And that's what happened to Grillo. Grillo thought he gave away the tournament. Probably did, but didn't in the end because he wound up winning the playoff. Thought he gave it away to Adam Schenck or maybe to Harry Hall, but didn't wind up doing that. And it was the putting that carried the day for him. So I think when you think about, and I'll throw in Wyndham Clark winning the Wells Fargo, these two guys were trending in that direction. But trending doesn't mean consistently great for 2 years or 1 year like our model relies upon. But it really means you've been playing great for 5, 6, 8 weeks. Could be as little as 2 weeks if you're trending in the right direction. So I have given some thought to doing a short-term model and doing a variation of this one so you can try to identify hot players over, let's say, the last 8 tournaments or the last 5 tournaments. I may do that still, and that may come along down the line. But overall, if you look at the winners this year, obviously a lot of them are number one and number two in the ranking. I mean, it's been a good year for the ranking, once again. A bunch of them are one and two. But you get some winners, like Kurt Kitayama at the Arnold Palmer, that was 17th. Now, he was 17th, still better than what he went off as, probably, I think, 100-1. To start, but it's not always going to catch the ultra hot player or the person who has the week you don't expect in terms of how they play golf. I think that's something that's important to note about any kind of modeling that you do. Sometimes you just kind of have a sense that one of these guys is going to play well. Sometimes that sense is right. We talked about Grillo on the show, making sense given that he'd been putting better and that he's a quality ball striker, and he got there. But the same kind of player you might think about this week, odds are they're not going to get there. So you just have to, when you're thinking about making your card, do you want to bet someone on potential that hasn't won in 8 years? And if you had the guts to do that, or you were crazy enough to do that, depending on how you'd like to think about it, then you were rewarded with an 80-1 ticket. If you hedged and you thought, oh, well, Grillo's playing well, I'd love him in a top 5 or a top 10 or top 20. You still probably got plus money. I don't remember the Grillo number for top 20, but you certainly got on top 10s or 5s. So that could be part of a strategy. It's, again, how you want to think about making money betting golf. Do you just go for winners and hope you get paid off enough of the time, or do you try to kind of hedge your way around with some plus money that will give you enough to cover your wagers and just kind of keep you rolling forward on the same bankroll, whatever that is that you have? Different ways to do it. I think you can be successful both ways. I tend to go for winners. I don't tend to bet small things, you know, the plus 200, plus 300, top 10, top 20, top 40 type stuff, if you can find it. I have very little interest in that. My interest is in trying to find winners. But as a strategy of trying to save money for the long haul, depending on what you're trying to punt off every week or on the occasion that you bet, you may think differently. So just wanted to point all of that out. But Griot was 32nd last week. And again, our model is a long-term view, 1 to 2 year windows. Overall, again, against the quality of your competition, how you play at this golf course in the last 3 years, and how you've played in the last 5 PGA Tour individual events. Obviously, we're out of the window now with Zurich Classic. I don't have to say individual anymore. It's individual all the way out for the rest of the way. So you're not going to be particularly surprised, I think, by the top 10, and we'll throw in a couple of other names that I think are worth noting as well. Scottie Scheffler's number 1. Patrick Cantlay is number 2, and Rory McIlroy is number 3. Scheffler obviously makes sense. I can't remember the last time he's had a bad tournament, like a truly bad tournament. I mean, he's been a model of consistency, been incredible this year, really the last year and change. Patrick Cantlay is 2nd in this model because he has won this tournament twice, and he plays this venue way better than anybody else. Although, interestingly enough, in the part of the calculation that looks at overall tournament performance in the last 3 years, John Rahm weighted slightly better than Patrick Cantlay, who's won it twice. So just worth noting, but obviously he is one of the better players at this golf course in this field and tends to play northeastern United States style golf. Now, this isn't the northeastern United States, but this is that style of golf. Very much tree-lined, quick, bent, lots of dog legs, lots of different routing around trees and forests. This is Patrick Cantlay's game. So worth noting. Rory McIlroy's in this spot because he's just been so consistent over the course of his career. He's consistently better than other players. Even when he's playing bad, he doesn't stay in a bad streak for long. And this is very, I won't say exactly the same to Oak Hill, nothing is, but similar style of golf. So I think he can thrive this week. Will I bet him? No. I'll bet the next guy on the list, which is Xander Schauffele, who's pretty close. Schauffele's played this tournament extremely well over the years. He's probably due for a win in it. He's 16-1, went off this week. Great number. I think it's absolutely worth looking at him. John Rahm is 5th. Tyrrell Hatton is 6th. Continues to play great golf, play really well at the PGA. Matt Fitzpatrick is 8th. Sungjae Im is 9th. Jason Day is 10th. And then some other numbers to note. Some guys that are kind of surprising. Ryan Fox has a small body of work on the PGA Tour outside, you know, major championships, basically. He's 12th. Victor Hovland is 13th. He is ahead of Colin Morikawa. Denny McCarthy is 17th. I think that is worth noting here. Eventually, he's going to get that win. It's coming. But a couple of guys I do want to point out that I really like this week. Ricky Fowler, Sahith Theegala are 23 and 24. Adam Scott, who I really like this week, is 26 in the model. There aren't a whole lot of surprises there, I don't think. I don't think there's anyone where you're like, oh my gosh, can't believe they're there. Thomas Dietrich rates out well. He just kind of does in this model. Shane Lowry is in pretty good position. A lot of the players have played well this year that, you know, they're there, right? I mean, they're making leaps and bounds. Hideki Matsuyama is probably a player that's going to be overlooked this week. He's played really well, I think, in the last couple of months. He is 30th in the model. Longer term view again, not so great, but been playing well pretty well recently. Kurt Kitayama's 33rd. I keep throwing out his name because I really like him on tough golf courses and in tough tournaments. Seems to be where he thrives. And if you think the setup at Bay Hill, which was long rough, long golf course, translates here, well, that guy won there. So it's not exactly the same. Florida golf is not Ohio golf. Lots of differences architecturally between Bay Hill and Muirfield Village, but I think worth noting that he's a guy who is, 1, erratic, but 2, can get there and get pretty close. Cameron Young is 36th, which is surprising to me because I would really love to bet him this week. And I'm not saying I won't, but I thought he would rate out a little bit higher than he does. So that's something worth pointing out. So let's take all that and then go into where we're at in the market. So win bet, you know, to outright winner bet. Scheffler 13-2, Rahm 15-2. Cantlay is shortened to 10-1. I think he was 11 or 12. So some money's coming on him naturally. Xander Schauffele is shortened considerably. He is now 12-1 at DraftKings. Pretty sure he opened at 14 or 16. That's long out the window. That was the right wager, I think, given the four favorites that you have here. I don't think Cantlay is good enough to go off at 10-1 or less. 12-1 might have been good enough, but Scheffler and Rahm just don't offer much value, even though they're great, great players. They're not, I just don't think they're that good. They're not 13-2 good every time out. And Scheffler is good enough, but I just don't see the value in betting him or Rahm at that number. I just don't see it. I think Victor Hovland is actually a very interesting play this week, and I think he's well worth playing, not only because of Oak Hill, but again, if you want to try to make a parallel to the Bay Hill setup, deep, rough, not narrow fairways, but narrow targets, lots and lots of thinking about your tee shot and what your second shot's going to do on these greens, assuming that they kind of stay firm and fast, which I think they will. I like Hovland's chances. I think a lot of people are drawn to bet Colin Morikawa instead because they think of him as a better ball striker, and he is. But I think the better player right now is Victor Hovland. Tyrrell Hatton at 25-1 is interesting. Jason Day is too short at 25-1. He just is. I know he's playing incredible golf. He's just too short. For me, on this golf course, too short for me. Justin Thomas, 30. Sungjae, 35, along with Ricky Fowler. I think Ricky Fowler may be worth a wager. Here again, it's hard for me to get behind a guy who hasn't won in almost, 6 years or something. Whatever the number is now at this point, it's been a while, but 35-1 feels a little short given the quality of competition, but he's also racking up top 10 finishes like no one's business. So you put him in the 35 company of Hideki Matsuyama, Cameron Young, Jordan Spieth, and Matthew Fitzpatrick. Are they comparable? Are they? I mean, Cameron Young's great in the majors. Hideki's a great ball striker. So is Ricky. He's got much better. Spieth and Fitzpatrick just had a great showdown at Harbortown. And obviously Fitzpatrick won that. Spieth has showed up at times at Muirfield Village. Fowler has showed up more. That's probably why he's in this company. And again, the top 10s this season have been tremendous. So maybe that's it. I would like to see him a little bit longer, but 35 is workable, I think, if you haven't gotten him yet. Russell Henley is 45, along with Corey Connors. Corey Connors should, conceptually, play this golf course really well. He's a really good ball striker. It, in some strange way, kind of has a feel of TPC San Antonio at points. So, maybe, but my money would go to Adam Scott and Sahith Theegala. Adam Scott's 50-1, and then Sahith is 55. I believe he opened 60, if I remember right. Wyndham Clark is 55. Also, along with Tom Kim, Shane Lowry. I can support. I've seen people with Tom Kim on their cards. I can support that. Ball striking, been very erratic so far in the calendar year. Shane Lowry is 55. And again, a little bit more erratic this year than last year, but a very, very, very good player. And then you get into 70 with Keegan Bradley, which there's nobody in the 60s. It's kind of interesting. The guys that were in the 60s got bet. Matt Kuchar, 75. Denny McCarthy, if I'm going to follow the model at 100-1, is a worthwhile pick. Let's put it that way. If 17th in the model is worthwhile, then he's worthwhile. And we just had a guy won at 32 last week, although that'd be a rare occurrence. Another guy that's a longer bomb that I think is interesting is Ben Ahn. Steven Yeager interests me too, but Ben Ahn has won big boy tournaments that require ball striking, a BMW PGA champion. Like, here, I mean, he's done the things that you need to do to win on these types of tree-lined, hard-to-play golf courses. So he's playing better, playing pretty well this year, actually. Maybe a little deeper, I would like, but I can be okay with that at 110 to 1. A sprinkle, doesn't have to be a whole lot, just a little bit of money. But I think it's worth looking at. We told you about Lucas Herbert last week. It was worth a shot. I mean, you could see a similar thing here. I mean, they're having a nice Jack Nicklaus run on the DP World Tour. He won on a Jack Nicklaus course. I mean, this is the Jack Nicklaus course. So maybe it's worth it. I mean, he's such a great putter. There's not going to be a whole lot of weather that's going to factor in or help him out here. But could be worth a look. Maybe that's an in-play option. If you see him get off to a good start, then nerf it right away, then I could get behind that a little bit. Getting deeper than that, Aaron Rye got in this field kind of surprisingly. I think you have to think about quality players here. Taylor Montgomery has fallen off the map. I mean, it's been crazy how he went from darling of the fall to now he's 180 to 1. What happened? Adam Svensson, 150 to 1. I've seen some people like him in their models. Billy Horschel's the defending champion. He's 180 to 1. Got some people to bet him last week. That they're probably not too proud about that. I just don't see a whole lot of longer shots here that really appeal to me beyond, you know, that 110, 130 range. Aaron Rye is 52 in my model. That's not bad. He's priced at 180. So, you know, he's probably about appropriately priced. Is that worth a look? I don't think so. I mean, I love the guy. I really like Aaron Rye as a golfer. And I liked him at the Texas Open. So if you do want to see a parallel or try to make a parallel, that's fine. But that's where I'm at with him. I do want to look at kind of course form, course fit, course comparison to point all of that out. I don't think we did that last week, so apologies for that. But I want to kind of bring you up to speed on current form, course history, and course fit as well. So let's start with the course comparison. And if you do look at this table that we have available for members at golfnewsnet.com, the course comparisons, they are actually, I hadn't looked at this beforehand, Memorial does compare it right next to, on the table, TPC San Antonio. I mean, it's really, really close. So, if you want to try to take something from that, then do you want to start thinking about Corey Connors, Matt Kuchar? Aaron Rye had himself a nice week. Ricky Fowler, you know, maybe guys like that are legitimate course fits. The other one that may be worthwhile to think about, although it's not as precise, but the FedEx St. Jude does have a similar breakdown of putting versus tee to green. But in terms of the other breakdowns of driving and approach play, I think you have a more apt comparison to go actually the other way towards Silverado, which is next on the list. It's not exactly the same, but I would say Silverado is a pretty fair comparison. So then start thinking about guys who have played the Safeway Open pretty well, or now it's the Fortinet Championship, but that's worth thinking about. So just want to get those two courses on your radar to think about for this week. So let's bring that back to course fit. And we have this article. This article is actually available for free. We've made this one a free article just because I think it's kind of helpful. And this data is largely publicly available. I mean, the course fits aren't, but it's still worth pointing it out, I think. So you look at the players who are course fits. Again, the breakdown that we do for course fit is looking at the strokes gained breakout by percentage of players who finish in the top five of an event really like the last 5 years, if it's a recurring venue, or if it's a relatively new venue, it's for however long it's been the host. So if you look at them, you have the breakout here at Muirfield Village, even with all the changes. So things change a little bit every year at Muirfield Village, more than other places. But the breakout is 29% putting, 71% tee to green, and then 17% off the tee, 37% on the approach, and 16% around the green in terms of strokes that are gained and that's how they're gained among players who finish in the top 25. And then those are all kind of decimal points on them, but we round them. So then you're trying to compare to players how they play when they finish in the top 25 in an event. And the reason I picked top 25 all these years ago when I started doing this is if you have a great week, I think you finished in the top 25. And then some things happen that maybe are out of your control. Maybe it's draw. Maybe you had a couple bad holes, stuff like that. But if you finish in the top 25, you've had a great week, because I don't care what the field size is. If it's 78 players, you were in the top third. If it's 156 players, you were in the top 15%. Like, that's great, right? You need to be that good to win. And I think people, they tend to forget or tend to not know that winning on the PGA Tour is a very small margin. And not just between first and second, but between first and 25th. You can have a great week and still finish like T24. And you might be disappointed with the result because some things didn't go your way. A couple putts didn't go in. A couple chips didn't bounce right. A couple bad bounces. All of that stuff adds up really quick. And if you lose by 5 or 6 or 8 or whatever it is, that's just a couple of shots around. That's not a lot in the grand scheme of things at this level. So I think a top 25 is a great week. Top 15s are better, and I use those for the current form, but we're trying to get a flavor for when a golfer plays well, what does that look like? And this is what it looks like. So some of those fits for this week include Adam Scott, K.H. Lee, Chris Kirk, Ricky Fowler, Emiliano Grillo, Matt Wallace, Patrick Cantlay, and Kevin Streelman. I didn't talk about Matt Wallace, but if you're looking for a super mega long shot, he has one this year. He gets probably a little too heated for me to like betting most weeks, but he is there. He is someone worth looking at. Event finish history. So then we do every week, right? We want to look at top 15 finishes in the last 5 years of this event. And we do that. I think that works particularly well when you have the same venue every year. If you're doing it in a major that rolls around, I don't think that's as helpful. Maybe it tells you they like the setup of whoever's putting on the event. For example, Brooks Koepka obviously loves the way the PGA of America sets up golf courses, but typically you're really looking for a match to the course that doesn't necessarily correlate to course fit. But a lot of the same suspects are on this list. So guys with multiple top 15 finishes in the last 5 years of this event: Patrick Cantlay, 4. Ricky Fowler, 3. Billy Horschel, 3. All the rest with 2. Siwoo Kim, Hideki Matsuyama, John Rahm, Justin Rose, who I think is a very interesting play this week. Xander Schauffele has 3. Messed that up. Sorry, got that in the wrong order. Xander Schauffele has 3. Jordan Spieth, Kevin Streelman, Aaron Wise all have 2 as well. Then let's look at current form. Last 5 individual PGA Tour events, as I mentioned. Obviously, now it's just last 5 PGA Tour events. We don't need more team events. And you look at the players who have finished in the top 15 multiple times. We have a couple with 3. Tyrrell Hatton and Scottie Scheffler. I mean, Scottie Scheffler's been in the top 5 3 times in the last 5 events. And I don't think he played the other 2. So, you know, pretty good. The other is Tyrrell Hatton, who played well at Wells Fargo, the Nelson, and well enough, barely, to qualify at the PGA Championship, where he finished T15. The others that are in that multiple range of late: Eric Cole, Corey Connors, and then you could throw in the win just before that. So obviously, I think there's still some value to that. Harris English coughed it up at Colonial. Ricky Fowler has been playing really well. Emiliano Grillo won 2 very, very different venues in terms of his career wins, but playing really well 2 different venues recently at Vedanta and Colonial. I mean, they couldn't seem more different in terms of the way they play. Harry Hall playing well, did well at the Nelson and Colonial, 2 quite different venues. Max Homa playing well, the PGA Tour at least, did well at Colonial and Wells Fargo. Justin Rose continues to play well, played well at Oak Hill and Colonial. I think there's a parallel there. I really do. Adam Scott played well at Wells Fargo and the Nelson. Jimmy Walker played well, did play well at RBC, although struggled at the end, and played well at the Mexico Open and the Wells Fargo Championship. So, you know, decent golf there. So that's kind of the breakout of all of those kind of metrics you like to use to think about wagers. So to come back to that board, the outright board, right? I don't think we talked about Rose early in the week. And I guess it's, is he out? Like, maybe he's out. Maybe I missed that somewhere along the way. So I'm sorry if I brought that up, but yeah, he's out. I thought he was in earlier in the week. Swore he was in the field, but apparently not. So scratch Justin Rose. He's not a good pick. Been a long, long Memorial Day weekend. So then you want to start to think about, let's go down the card, think about all the people that we like, and we'll go with Patrick Cantlay. Seems like a good play, but he's too short for me at this point. If you got him earlier in the week or you got him at a better number, like 14, awesome, was worth the play. I don't like it at 10-1, but I do like Xander Schauffele. Again, he's short here, went from 16 to 12. You found him at a good number early in the week. Thumbs up, love that bet. People don't want to bet Victor Hovland. I'm going to bet Victor Hovland at 20-1. Tyrrell Hatton's been playing really well, but I think I'm going to steer clear. Sun James been playing well enough, but I feel like he fell off the last couple of times out, so steer clear. Ricky Fowler, I think, is too short. No, it's too short. I'd like him at 50, not at 35. Cameron Young, I think I am going to bet, though. I think I really am going to bet him. I know I've been, again, I feel like I'm kind of contrarian at some points this week against the conventional logic, but Corey Connors interests me at 45. I probably will put a little sprinkle. Certainly Adam Scott, certainly Sahith Theegala interests me. If you think about the correlation between San Antonio and here, Matt Kuchar's probably worth a look. I am going to bet Denny. I'm biased. He plays out of our club here in the area when he's here. So I think he's heading in that direction toward a win. He's become a much better tee to green player, I feel like, the last couple of years. Ben On, I think, is worth a look at 110-1. And I may convince myself to look at Lucas Herbert or Adam Svensson, just super mega deep shots. And then Kurt Kitayama at 130-1. I think I'm going to take a little sprinkle on as well. Again, those guys are like 100 plus. You know, my usual betting unit's like $50 for golf. I think it's like a $10 or a $20 bet, it depending on how rowdy you feel about it. But if your usual unit is, you know, $25, then put $5 on them. Don't put a lot of money on them. But if you get paid, you get paid. And it's fun to have a little sweat, I think, on those things. And those wins do happen. We've seen them this year. We didn't see them quite as much last year, I don't think, but we've seen a couple this year where you're like, hey, that's kind of deep. I mean, think about Griot, think about Kitayama. Not as many. I mean, at least we had a couple of somewhat recent memory to go, hey, you know, it's possible. It's not so daunting that it's impossible to believe that could happen. Odds are you're going to get a big boy winner. You're going to get Cantlay or Schauffele probably. But I think they're worth having as tickets. And again, you can cash them out if they play like junk on the first nine holes and call it, and you want to call it a day, then call it a day and cash out for half your money or one third your money. And it's a very small mistake, financially speaking, no worse than getting a bad scratch off ticket if you're into that kind of thing. So worth looking at. I think that's going to be my card for the week. We typically do talk about winning margin in this tournament. I think I'm going to stay away from that this week. I would probably look at 1 and 2, but not knowing exactly everything that has been changed and not knowing exactly how deep the rough's going to be. I think they've trended toward much deeper rough the last 3-4 years, really in the COVID era and beyond. So that could create a much tighter leaderboard, I think. So I'd probably look at 1 and 2 and not think so much about the history of the tournament there. Some matchups, we'll throw those out as well. I like tournament matchups, as I've said. I don't like round matchups. As we pointed out last week, we had a very good sweat on Cameron Smith versus Brooks Koepka on the LIV Tour. I don't think you're going to find such an obvious mismatch very often, but that turned out to be a one-stroke affair. So even then, what seems like a great wager, the difference between winning and losing is not much. There's a reason they have these out there, because they, if you're crushing them, you're getting kind of lucky. That's just me. I think Xander Schauffele is worth plus 105 against Patrick Cantlay, who's minus 130. I think the value is there. They're not that dissimilar in how they play this course. They play it well. They like it. I think Schauffele is the better player at the moment. So I like that difference there. It's going to be a tight one, I think, but I like that difference there. I do like Cameron Young over Matt Fitzpatrick. They're both minus 110 at DraftKings. I like that. I like Corey Connors minus 110 over Russell Henley. That makes sense to me. I think he's a better player. I think he's a better fit for this golf course. Trying to find some better plus money options here. I like Adam Scott plus 105 against Sungjae Im. Just seems like something's off right there. This one's a really interesting one to me. Rory McIlroy against Victor Hovland. Victor Hovland's plus 105. McIlroy just played great at the PGA Championship, but so did Victor Hovland. Hovland's played really well in tough tests this year. Did well at Bay Hill. If you think there's a comparison there to that setup, I think Victor Hovland's worth a play at plus 105. Over Rory McIlroy, who might be stepping out of whatever he was into in March and April, but I'm not fully convinced that he's out yet, and that this might be one of those kind of pendulum swinging situations where it all goes right this week and he figures it out and this looks silly come next Monday. But I think there's a value there. And then my other play, oh wow, you get Denny McCarthy even money against Gary Woodland, who's minus 120. Obviously, I would trust my model here. I like McCarthy over Woodland. So I'll go with that. I think that's a worthwhile play. Other than that, I'll probably leave everything else alone. Make missed cut bets. There probably is some value here that because this is a designated event. And I think it's worthwhile to think about the designated events this way, at least this year. We'll see how the fields look next year. But guys aren't going to turn down the opportunity to play for a $20 million purse. Even, I mean, some will. I mean, Finau's not here. But that's because he's got a skip event. Like, he's got one he's got to skip. And he's got to defend quite a bit over the next couple of months. So he's got to find a break somewhere. But if you're looking at the field otherwise on the whole, you've got 40 of the top 50. And not everyone likes this golf course. Let's say that they think it's bad. They just doesn't set up well for them. So if you think about that, then do you want to look at someone based on their course history that may not agree with playing Muirfield Village? And then we have a tool for that to look at the last 5 years and offer some help there. So looking at that tool, this is basically event performance history over the last 2 years, 3 years, and 5 years. And you want to look at the strokes gained on average per round in those years. So your top five, well, Tiger Woods is in this list, so we'll take him off. John Rahm, Scottie Scheffler, Matt Wallace, Sahith Theegala, and Colin Morikawa. And then some guys that aren't on this tour anymore. So worth pointing them out. And not everyone plays here every year. Not everyone makes the cut every year. Like, for example, Matt Wallace has 6 rounds here in the last 5 years. Well, you know, that's a little bit different than Patrick Cantlay, who's got 20 and is lower in the list just because he's got more starts. So that's worth pointing out. But if you want to look at it the opposite way, guys who have played this the worst, Sam Burns does not play this course well at all. Cam Davis does not play this course well. Hudson Swafford. Oh, I thought that was Harry Sinkish for a second. Sorry. It's a little Spider-Man pointing. Don't talk about him. Sepp Straka plays this course poorly. And then it's not as clear after that otherwise. So Sam Burns has not figured this place out. And Cam Davis has not figured this place out. Now let's keep that in mind and look at miscut bets for this week. Well, Sam Burns is plus 275 to miss the cut. Guy doesn't play this. So I like that number. I think that's worth looking at because he's a bad player on this golf course. Worth looking at. The other guy that's worth thinking about is Sepp Straka, but you're not going to find that number. So there's your one informed play of, hey, this guy doesn't like this place. Probably should consider that he's going to miss the cut. And that would be one I think I would like to look at here this week. Be very surgical about that. It doesn't happen often where you're like, hey, this guy's in this field and he hates this golf course or just doesn't play it well. But this is one of those situations where I think that's worth looking at along with the 1-2 stroke difference number for victory in this tournament. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the Mizuho Americas Open, which is played at Liberty National Golf Club in Jersey City, New Jersey. It's the first year for this tournament, $3 million purse. Michelle Wee is actually the host of this tournament, which is pretty cool. It's cool they gave her a hosting job to take a tournament. I mean, she's done a lot for the LPGA over the years. She's a major winner, very popular player, and she wanted to do something that kind of had a connection to junior golf, which obviously she grew up in the public spotlight as a junior player who became a professional very early on in life. Good field. Liberty National is, I really enjoy the golf course. It gets crapped on a lot, but it's actually quite fun, and they've improved it, I'd say, a fair amount over the last decade, especially since they had the President's Cup there. They made the golf course better. It's not particularly hard, I don't think. There are some tee shots that are tricky if you're a power player and you're trying to overpower the golf course. I think about particularly late on in the round. But generally speaking, the name of the game is position. You put your ball in a good position off the tee, and you set up an opportunity to try to score. The greens can be fairly tricky, so second shots do matter. Tee to green game, I think, matters more than putting on this golf course, because there are just a lot of putts that if you don't have it in the right spot, you're just trying to two putt. And if you can go pin seeking all day, and depending on how they set it up, they probably will be able to, then you've got to get your ball from point A to point B, point B to point C, and then hopefully you make putts. But I think tee to green game is very important. You've got a really good field overall. I will point out, Lexi Thompson's not here. Maybe she just doesn't like the idea of this golf course. She's played it before, but I feel like she's having a very strange season in terms of participation. But let's start at the top of the board. Taiya Tidikun is plus 750. Jin-Young Ko, 850. Lydia Ko's not played that spectacularly since getting married. He is 14-1. Nasa Hataoka and Lilia Vu and Georgia Hall are all 16-1. Celine Boutier is 20-1. Hall and Boutier interest me. So does Lilia Vu for their ball striking capabilities. They could be interesting on this golf course. Minji Lee really stands out to me at 22-1 for that reason. Tremendous ball striker. I think worth a look here this week. Maja Stark had a really nice showing in the match play at Shadow Creek. I think you can see some parallels. They're not the same architect. It's Fazio versus Kite Cup. But this golf course is similar in a lot of ways to Shadow Creek in that, one, it shouldn't be there. But two, that it's made to look like it should be there, if that makes sense. And in that regard, it's kind of a blend of traditional tree-lined golf with, I mean, just different golf. I don't know how to better put it because they're two different styles, but they're not that different. I think Maja Stark could do very well here this week. She may be tired, though. Leona McGuire played really well last week. Again, I would see a parallel there. She's a great tee to green player. I could see her at 30-1 doing quite well this week. Here's a crazy thing to me. Rose Zhang is making her professional debut this week. She's done everything that there is to do in amateur golf. And she just finished winning back-to-back NCAAs. This is her professional debut. So you would think she's somewhat nervous, although she's more than capable. And she's 40-1. I'm not saying she's going to win. I feel like that's kind of short. I would put her 60-65. So there's probably some public action on Rose Zhang to come out and just kick some ass right away. On what limited handle they have on the LPGA. I think that's saying a little bit much. Allison Lee also interests me at 60-1. Again, played well last week, like Shadow Creek. I think there is a parallel here. It's not exactly the same, but I do see a parallel to that. Jennifer Kupcho is so interesting to me because I feel like she's about ready to snap out of it, but 80-1, maybe not yet. Aditi Eshock, 80-1. Ball striker, really, really good from that. This course isn't particularly long, so she could probably handle it pretty well. And I think that would work out pretty well. And I think that's good enough for me. We don't need to go deep on this tournament. I think you're going to get a quality winner, but I think you're going to look toward ball striking here above all else. Go seek out those numbers at the LPGA. They have them posted We probably will do this in the off season. This will be too hard to do over the next few months, but we're going to put together an LPGA database and do some modeling off of that, because that's not as easily accessible. And I think there's actually some money to be made on this tour if you know what's coming and what's out there. So I those are the players I like, and I like them because I've seen their statistics, but I don't have the same kind of computational model that I do, and I'd like to start doing that. So we'll probably start doing that in 24, but point that out. And then the Porsche European Open, which is at the Green Eagle Golf Courses in Germany. Might be the last year for Porsche as a sponsor, who knows. But have seen some guys shorten up a little bit. Yannick Paul, I think, got some money on him. I thought he was like 35. Maybe he wasn't, but I thought he was 35. He ain't anymore. He's 20-1, or 22-1, rather. Victor Perez and Rasmus Højgaard are 18-1. Jordan Spieth is 20-1. Antoine Rosner, 22. McIntyre, Olsen are 25. Alexander Bjork, I think, ball striking wise, should do well here again. And Jorge Campillo, they're 28-30-1 each. I probably look at them individually. Ewan Ferguson always kind of interests me a little bit, but I think I will stay away from him here this week. Dan Bradbury, I like at 65-1. I think he's kind of heading the right direction. Jazz at 75-1, I think, is worth a look at least. And maybe Marcel Seam, maybe, at 80-1, worth a look here this week. And then, you know, I mean, a little bit deeper than that, I'd like to try to look for guys in the 120 to 185, 195 range to bet here. I will throw out Will Besling again, because he is a good driver of the golf ball, and this golf course tends to struggle to give up deep scores. So just hitting it out there and getting the ball in play may go a long way here this week. Just worth pointing that out. But, you know, I would probably stick toward the Bjork, Campillo, Paul range and just stick with ball strikers and go from there. But at least they have better data about that on the DP World Tour than they do on the LPGA. That's publicly available. You can check that out. And it's worth a look, because I think, ball striking tends to win, right? Especially on a tour where you don't have tons of brilliant putters. I mean, you have some, but it's just not that how it works out there. So if you want to look at the numbers for the year, then maybe that opens up a little bit here. Adrian Ortega is second on the tour in strokes gained on the approach. Yannick Paul's fourth. Olsen's fifth. They have the requisite number of rounds. Jason Scrivener has not played as much on this tour, but he is 11th. Richard Mansell's 34th. Richard Mansell's 12th. Bjork is 14th. And those guys have had very good years. Maybe a couple of people worth pointing out farther down. Romain Langasque, I think, gets a fair amount of bets every week because he is a good ball striker. He's played 48 rounds this year on the DP World Tour. But Kiradek Api-Barmrad is worth pointing out because he's deep enough of a shot. He's played 22 rounds on the tour this year, and he's 22nd in ball striking. So I would throw those guys out there, and I would load up on them. But if you want to look by comparison in terms of putting for the year in strokes gained, Marcel Seam's crushing it. Great putter. Not the best ball striker, but a great putter. And beyond that, I mean, Gavin Green, I felt like, had a good couple of weeks in continental Europe last year. He is a very good putter. I don't think that applies as much to this tournament. Rasmus Højgaard's a good putter. Victor Perez is a good putter. Alexander Bjork, it feels like he's due, though, because he's, what, top 15, top 16 in both ball striking and putt in terms of approach play and putting. Same thing with Olsen. Olsen's 19th in putting. Those guys are having great years. There's a reason they're playing well, and they're doing both things particularly well. Audrey Arnaz is 28th in putting. I think that's pretty good. I mean, that for a guy that's a good ball striker, I think that comes out in the wash pretty well. But worth kind of putting those things together every week and just kind of seeing the trend in the right direction. We might wind up doing a DP World Tour database, but we'll see about that. But I definitely am doing the LPGA one, because I think there is not much of a betting market for this. And if you find the right players to exploit, you're going to move markets, one, but you can get numbers quickly. And I don't think, unless you're doing crazy whale stuff, they're not going to back you off. They're just going to take your money and hope you're wrong in the long haul. All right, that's going to do it for us for today and for the week on The Press. Thanks so much for spending some time with us. I appreciate it. Sorry for the lack of show yesterday again. Kids got an extra day off of school because they didn't have any snow days this year. So the school and the diocese decided they would just give us Memorial Day Tuesday off for some reason. So there's that. But next week, we've got plenty to talk about. We're getting close, super close to the US Open, which is very, very exciting. And we really don't have a whole lot on the docket. You know, we'll have a DP World Tour event. We'll have the LPGA in Atlantic City, which will be fun to talk about. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about the Korn Ferry Tour. They do have an event this week. And then we'll probably preview the US Open a little bit, just try to dial in a few things that we might be able to get based off what happened at the Memorial, and we'll go from there. If you want to give us a 5-star review and you listen to us through a podcast platform, let you do that. I appreciate it. Helps us reach more people with the show. Get a hold of me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com, or you can get a hold of me on Twitter or Instagram at Ryan Ballingy. Happy to answer your questions. Join Golf News Net for $99 a year, and the show is available on not only our podcast platforms, but also our radio station, Golf News Net Radio, which is on iHeart and TuneIn and like 6 other services, but those are the main ones. We'll be back next week with more shows. Thanks so much for your support. We appreciate it, and we'll catch you next time on The Press.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21+. Terms and conditions apply.